This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you from the patio studios, and as always, represented by my man Randy Green, his wonderful company, the Innovated Companies. Check them out at innovatedcompanies.com. Whether it be the construction team, heating and cooling, electric, and now the plumbing team, they're there to cover all your needs, residential, commercial, or industrial. He's a second-generation craftsman, bonded, licensed, and insured, and of course, a man of his word. In the end, he'll save you time, energy, and money. Give Randy Green an opportunity for your business. My man, innovatedcompanies.com. Well, interesting weekend. More than just a weekend, an interesting 4 days in Milwaukee. The whole thing that I find interesting is we're going to get into the show today, and you know I'll introduce my counterparts here in a second. But as they sit there, and probably like most people, you know, you sit here and, you know, as you fan, however it is you want to fan, I would assume you love the Cardinals. So, you know, you want to always love the Cardinals. But, man, sometimes they make it hard. It's like a family member. You know, those first couple games, it feels like you're mad at your brother. And then all of a sudden, you know why you love your brother. So, I mean, it's a tough thing, man. But it is exciting for watching, for sure. It's a little heart-stopping at times, but, you know, if you're a social media guy, like I love to get on and get it rolling, it's interesting stuff. I can't say enough about the roller coaster ride that we're on. And that's kind of what is interesting about today as I sit here, is I feel like I've been on a roller coaster for a couple of years and I can't get off. And that's ultimately what I feel like. And I would challenge anybody to tell me that that's not exactly what it is. It's been like one long roller coaster ride. Let me find out who's on this roller coaster ride with me. I'll start off in the studio here with Steve-O out for the day, actually getting some real work done instead of playing around here with us. Let's welcome in from Art City Media, my man Josh Potter. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Big announcement from you today. You've been working really, really hard on utilizing the Marcell Ozuna autographed jersey that Benji and Yachty were able to obtain for us from m4byyachty.com. I think you've got your contest put together, and one lucky listener is going to have an opportunity to do this, which I think is great. It's going to, you know, we talked a little bit about the contest, and rather than make it one where, you know, do this and you win it, it's an opportunity for everybody to have a chance to win it based on how much they really want to get after it. So I'm excited to learn about it. With Marcell Ozuna carrying the water lately, doing a really good job. It should be intriguing to see how many people would love to have one of our newest Cardinal members this year, an autographed jersey from him. This is going to be pretty cool. Does it come with a green sleeve?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to. That's Benji and Yachty's department right there. We can check around online and see what we can find.
I was going to say, we've got the autographed jersey.
Well, you can't even wear the sleeve anymore, so
they told him no?
I haven't seen it on him lately.
I don't know. Let's when you go to these kind of matters, you got to go inside the locker room. And if you're going to go into the locker room, there's only one of us three who are in there consistently. Let's welcome in on the M4byYachty.com hotline, my man, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's going on over there, man? I'm here in Seattle, Washington. Hey, guys, can I say something real quick before we keep going with the Osuna?
Yep.
Hey, for the people that are listening, they got mad at me because I said something about those kids being trapped, you know, in Texas and Trump or whatever, you know. They got mad. They actually almost offended me, saying, hey, man, let's take it to baseball. And I'm like, oh, boy, I just took a five-minute thing just to say that if they want to deport these guys, why not do it all together, right? Like babies and moms and dads and, you know, if you're going to deport it, if that's your that's what you're going to do. That's all I said, and I got so much stuff in the Twitters, and I'm like, holy crap, man. All right, well, let's stick to baseball then. I just wanted to clarify that I'm not in the middle of any politics or anything. I just said that if they're going to deport the dad and the mom, they should do it all together, like mom, dad, son, daughter, everybody together. That way you don't separate the kids, that's all.
Yeah.
But anyways.
No, I hear you. I saw some of that, and, you know, I will say that, you know, I won't use this platform to be political. Number one, I'm not that interested in having a conversation about politics, number one. Number two, I think some people right now, to be completely honest, are so political. And they're so defensive, and that's fine. You can listen. I say all the time, be whoever you want to be. And it's a Cardinal show. You can be defensive about your opinion here. It's fine. But I'll be honest. I took your comments last week to be simply a man that cares about kids. And listen, you can stand on whatever side can stand on whatever side of the aisle you want to stand on this one. Anytime kids are in a bad way, it sucks.
Yeah, I think it also determines what the attitude around Twitter. So,
yeah, I think Twitter's
roller coaster. Again.
Let's look at this thing.
I was going to say about the Ozuna arm guard.
Yeah, what Ozuna, do you know about the like?
Remember that Father's Day he wore a blue one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he changed from that. I think right that day he changed. I think I haven't seen it since then. I haven't seen that green one. I'm sorry from that Father's Day.
You guys
day
have got me wondering. Well,
I know.
Wait a minute. He wears the green one at home. When's the last time we were at home?
Father's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, he wore the powder blue one on Father's Day. Yeah, that's why. He wears the green one at home, and he wears like a different one on the road. Let's see.
Okay.
Well, let's see what happens. They play. Yeah.
Play tonight. So
we'll see what happens.
I'd be able to get one of those.
Oh my goodness gracious, man! A green signed Ozuna sleeve. Oh my goodness.
Well, let me find out first. Okay? I don't want to say yes, and then I know if I can find it, he'll sign it.
I know
he's a nice guy.
I know. Well,
we need to find some special items, man. We need to find. Do you guys have anything in mind?
Well, let's.
I got to get Nate.
What's that?
I got to get Nate some for a rally squirrel.
Oh, yeah. We got it going on there. So, no. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. So I brought up on beforehand. Benji, you've been doing the show now with us for a while. We've lived through ups and downs. You've been here with us, you know, almost from the very beginning. It feels a little bit like a roller coaster ride, doesn't it?
Yeah. Heck, yeah. It feels like a roller coaster, but that's what's going to happen when we have guys struggling, Jimbo and Josh. When you have guys struggling, you're not going to have those times where you're going to have one slump every year, like Houston or something, because they're not struggling. There's nobody struggling in Houston lineup. There's nobody struggling in Cleveland, for example. And you're going to find out what you want to play a good team and good pitching. Just wait for these couple games, and then you'll see what we're talking about with this Cleveland team. They don't care who's pitching. They kill them, man. Those guys are hot. They can hit, and they can pitch. Kubler, whatever his name is, and all those guys can pitch, man. So you guys will find out there. I wish I was there for Cleveland Series, but what I was trying to say is when you have roller coasters, because you have two or three guys, usually two or three guys are struggling, man. That's just how it is. It's not a secret. And then when you have a bullpen that it's been up and down too, of course you're gonna have a roller coaster because they have to pitch good at some point and they do it, and then other times they've been struggling because it's, you know, ups and downs. But when you have a really good bullpen, you can have a steady pace of winning games and be okay with a maybe a week of slump or maybe a 6 day of slump. But when you have trouble everywhere, when you have trouble bullpen, when you have trouble in a couple batters, you know, man, it makes it really, really tough. It makes it really hard. So that's why you see the roller coaster. But it is. I'm with you.
Yeah, I look at it and I think it's funny. What really made me think about it was I was talking to somebody this morning that I hadn't seen in a while. I ran into him and I was getting my coffee this morning, and they were like, you know, really, you know, I've been following the two birds, you know, and they said some nice things to say about you and everything. And I said, yeah. And I talked about the guy. Goes, you know, he goes, what's funny is I've been listening to the show for quite a while now, and you know, it does it get hard? And he said this. He goes, does it get hard talking about the same things all the time? I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, this thing. He goes, they feel to me like they're the same team no matter what they do the last couple of years. You know, they make a couple of moves. They add this guy. They take away this guy. That, but in the end, it's the consistency is not there. And I said, well, and you know what's funny to hear a guy say that. And then Josh, I'll get your thoughts on this because again, you're fairly new to joining us. And as you know, as I don't know what we'd call you, and our intern, I guess some degree. I guess my question is this. Does it feel that way to you, A, like you're on a roller coaster?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even because I've been more, you know, present on social media and just seeing how fans are fanning. And, I mean, not that I never paid attention to the Cardinals. I always paid attention to the Cardinals. But, I mean, it's kind of been like that the last 3 years or 2 years at least. And this is the third. And it's just a trend that I don't like that we're going on with the inconsistency. I wish we had that one bat or that a couple bats that, you know, stay consistent throughout week after week. And I honestly think we're finding it now, though, with Ozuna and Martinez. I think those two guys are the two consistent bats that we're going to consistently have in that lineup day in, day out.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring those two guys up, primarily because they are quote-unquote middle-of-the-order hitters, which I think we've lacked at times. You know, my issue has been, and I brought this up a little while back, and we can talk a little bit about this today. It'd probably be, to be quite honest, it's probably more of an uncomfortable conversation for Benji than us. But the truth of the matter is, I believe this. I'm a Blues fan, right? I do a Blues show with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball as well. And, you know, I think this applies to all sports teams, and it's just my opinion, of course. I mean, I don't have any, you know, any insider knowledge to back this up, other than just watching them, and that is this. When something is consistently good or bad or mediocre, you're going to – I'm sorry, but it revolves around the core.
Yep.
And that's my opinion. I think there's some guys on this team that, let's face it, we like them one day and then don't like them the next. And when that happens 2 and 3 days at a time, it results in what? 2-game losing streaks followed up by 2-game winning streaks in one game here. It's the whole take a step forward, take a step back. And what do you have in the end? What you have in the end is a 500 baseball team. And some of that, in my opinion, is on the front office. Some of that's on the players. Does the manager need to be better? Of course he does. Everybody always needs to be better. And I know that I have a lot of fun with people on social media, and they think that I defend Matheny. I don't defend Matheny. I don't have to defend him, okay? What I do, though, is try to remind people that while he may be the focal point of your anger at the moment or for the long moment, okay, it's in my opinion that changing him while being a new voice, and if that's what you believe in, and I'm curious to get Benji's thoughts on that today, as I had planned to ask him that. But getting a new voice, whether it be from Mabry or Matheny, if one of those is to go, I am of the opinion, based on the on-field product, that I don't know that it's going to help.
Yep.
That's my opinion. I think people feel like it's the movies and they're going to change coaches and all these guys making millions of dollars are going to start shaking in their boot with guaranteed contracts are going to start shaking in their boots in the locker room when the new guy walks in. They have this vision that Tony La Russa showed up here and shut it down and there's a new sheriff. I've said this once and I'll say it again. I had my issues with Tony La Russa. I probably had as many or more issues with Tony than I did Mike, only because he was here longer, right? But I don't know why everybody thinks it's so hard when you're a manager and your team has a core of veteran players, proven players that get it done, that run the clubhouse. Now, if somebody steps out of line or does something, you would hear stories about Tony. I mean, but we don't know that that's not going on with Mike, too. This is all semantics to me because at the end of the day, the product on the field is the net end of what we're trying to get to. It's got to be better. And if the core aren't better players, I don't know how that's supposed to be better. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Okay, so
100%, man. I think I really do believe it. Even if you bring whoever is really a player's coach, when you bring him in, the attitude might change a little. You know, they might be, I don't know how to say it, but it might be an attitude change, maybe because they like this guy better or something. That's okay. But the guys will be still the same guys, the same hitters, same fielders, same runners. So it's not going to change that much in that area, you know? I don't see that happening. I don't see Fowler hitting better because the manager changed, or I don't see Wong hitting 300 because Matheny's gone and now the new manager. I don't know why, but I don't see that happening. People think that's why they need to fire, you know, and the fire of Mabry. I mean, you could do the same. You can fire the guy. I don't want him fired, but if you guys want him fired, and you will find out, and then what? You're going to want to fire the next guy too? Right away, you're going to have to fire him because they might be still the same guys hitting. It might be still the same guys in fielding like they did with Oquendo. Oquendo can teach you everything about fielding, and he's one of the best instructors and coaches in fielding. And the guy's still making errors. Is that because Oquendo? No, that's because that's the product. That's the guys that make the play. When the ground ball is hit to the shortstop, Oquendo's not there fielding it. It's the guy out there fielding the ball and making a bad throw. Those are the guys. So it's the same thing. I mean, you can change Matheny, but are you going to change the players? Because that's the only way I can see that happening, you know, if you change the, you know what I mean? We still have the same players.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing.
Would you consider Matheny a player's coach, though?
I think
he is.
Well, I think he is,
so
too. I think this is a better question for Benji.
Get the other, you know, because you said, what if we brought in a player's coach? Well, isn't it that basically the same thing as Matheny? Almost, I mean.
You know what? Let's do this. That's a phenomenal question. First off, let's do this. I want to do something here. Listen, that is such a good question. I think that's a great topic. So hang on a second. Let's do this. Let's do the intro. I want to know. I want Benji to define what a player's coach truly is for our listeners. Because I think what we think of a player's coach is some guy that walks around patting him on the back, never getting upset, never holding anybody account. I think that's what we think a player's coach is. I think we thought Tony was a tyrant and walked around and everybody was shaking and, ooh, I better not get out of line and I better get a hit today. I think that's what we thought Tony was. And that's so this is a great question. Very good, Josh. I feel like we're in grade school. Very good, Josh.
Thanks.
Very good.
Yes.
Hey, all right. So quickly, don't forget us, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. It's absolutely free. Do your shopping on Amazon as well. That helps us with our production costs. You simply click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. And again, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers, that's kind of, that money goes in their pocket for all the extra work they do for the show. So if you could do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Again, that's twobirdsonabat.com. Social media, guys, it's where it's at. I'm happy to have everybody that wants to be involved in the show to follow us on social media and jump in our conversations. On Twitter, you find us at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us. Again, if you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook. Our contest is actually going to revolve around Facebook, and I'm going to let Josh tell you about that here in a minute. But find us. It's very simple. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. You're not done. Click invite your friends. Very simple to do. Josh, while we're on Facebook, why don't you tell our listeners, we're going to send some stuff out, but tell our listeners how this thing really goes here real quick.
Okay, so it's just a networking contest, if you will. So whenever you get on Facebook, you'll type in, you know, search Two Birds on a Bat. You'll go to the page. And yeah, so there's the community button on the right side, and it's going to show how many of your friends actually like Two Birds on a Bat Facebook page. And that's how, that's what really started everything for me. Got my wheels turning. I was like, well, hell, let's, you know, get everybody involved. Share it amongst your friends. Get as many people as you can to like our page. And then once you're, you know, and you can update and send us notification or send us a message anytime you want to update your entry. So every entry is, or every friend that you have that likes the page is an entry. So it's, you know, it's not just, oh, your name's in one time. It's going to be in, if you have 100 friends that like the page, then you got 100 friends. So you just screenshot the how many people like your like the page and send it into Two Birds on a Bat. There's a send message button in the top right underneath the banner. And yeah, it's just a networking contest. We want to get everybody else involved. We want to make sure that all the Cardinal fans know about Two Birds on a Bat and how they can win this thing.
So let me get this straight. So for every friend that you have,
yep,
that's a mutual friend that likes our page, you get one entry.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to, I don't even think mutual or anything. It just says in the community.
Oh, not
button,
mutual. So any, yeah, of their, so if I like Two Birds on a Bat the Facebook page, and yep, I have 20 friends also that like it, I have 20
yep
entries.
Absolutely.
So then if I was to click invite my friends, and I invite all my friends,
yep,
and 50 more go and like the page, I receive 50 more entries.
Correct.
And we're gonna, and they can send that in.
Yep, lately. And it'll be, so whenever you send it in as a message, it'll basically just be a conversation between you and Two Birds on a Bat.
So we'll take that yep screenshot, we'll take that person's name, we put in their entries into the system, boom, we're
correct
done. All right, awesome. That's great stuff. Oh, and yeah, I believe we have a whole campaign set up for this, so we're going to be sending it out through our social media sites. Yep. To learn more, again, at Birds on a Bat shows where you'll find us on Twitter. Again, you just heard it, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. Don't forget our Facebook group either, Birds on a Bat. Yep. If you want to join that, just click the button there, and if you're a Cardinal fan, we'll accept you into the group. The other way we'll be sending out also is through Instagram. You can find us there, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Don't forget all of our friends at lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Also now home to Yo Radio, the newest internet radio station. Go to the App Store, download Yo Radio. It's absolutely free. Leave them a review. These guys have worked really hard on this, and they're developing an unbelievable app for music streaming. Make sure you check it out, Yo Radio. I know you'll enjoy it, as we're enjoying it around the office here for sure. And, you know, again, our sponsors. Guys, we couldn't do this show without you. You heard me talk about Randy at InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget about Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens. I want to send a shout-out to Mark. I know, man, he had a little scary. He's going to be fine. You know, he's a little nervous the other day, a little health scare. But, you know, he's a great dude. Everybody loves Mark. It was good to see him on Facebook saying, hey, you know, everything's good. Just gotta make a couple changes, you know, which those are always tough as we get older, to change the old diet maybe and cut down on the cigars. But the reality of it is, he's a great dude. He's a great golfer. He's a great friend. And he does a tremendous job. Arlington Greens, again, the hidden jewel here in the Midwest, especially in the Metro East. And again, it's right on the outside of Granite City and on the border of Collinsville. Make sure you check it out. Arlington Greens, again, they have unbelievable tournaments out there. He does a great job for the community with. There's open play, a lot of open play during the day. Make sure you check it out. Golf leagues, anything you might want. And again, The course looks phenomenal. He does a tremendous job. Tell him your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you. And, of course, if you're hungry, which who isn't hungry, okay, Adam Smokehouse down on Watson, let me tell you, tremendous barbecue. You got to try the ribs, guys. I'm sorry. I know you guys all liked a little something different, but I don't know, man. It starts and ends with ribs for me. But everything was good. No, I've never heard a complaint. Thanks to all our listeners, too, for sending stuff in, saying thanks for the recommendation. You know, if you get an opportunity, tell Mike that that you're a fan of the show. We appreciate so much of what they do for us, and it means a lot to us. It really does. So don't forget our friends over at Adam Smokehouse. Again, ribs, ribs, ribs. That's all I can say is ribs, ribs, ribs. Okay, let's get back to this. So that's a great point, Josh. So I want to do this, number one. Benji Molina, you played in the league for 13 years. You played for, I don't know, what did you play for, three or four different coaches? But multiple... But because you played for Bochy twice, right? Did you play for Bochy twice?
No. I played Socha, and then I went to, I don't want to say his name, in Toronto, and then I went to San Francisco with Bochy, and then Ron Washington.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that makes sense. That's right. Okay, so, but then you were also in locker rooms with different coaches as you were coaching. You coached in, so. This is a great question. First off, if somebody tells you that somebody's a player's coach, what does that mean to you?
Well,
to you, what's a player's coach? Or do you think that's a silly term?
No. It's actually very, very life. Very life. It's a good topic. It's a good question. For me, a player's coach is somebody that's open to talk. It's open. A coach that has everybody happy in their heads and that has the door open all the time and in the office just to talk to anybody. Somebody that cares about the teammates. Somebody that never throws anybody under the bus, personally or in the media. There's many, many things that you could do a player's coach. Somebody that is always behind whatever you do, because this is a team effort. It's supposed to be, right? We made it become a players. You know, oh yeah, Bryce Harper or Miguel Cabrera, they're really legends, and Mike Trout and all that. But we forget this is a team. This is a very, very team sport if you want to win. If you don't want to win, then it becomes a you and me. So, but you have to have that. You have to have a player's coach. For me means, you know, you have to make sure that everybody is on board to winning, all that stuff, man. You have to be open-minded with your players, because that's what the key is. So, if you have people mad or like a group mad or a group that's not working for you, I don't think you're a coach player then. Or it could be the player not being the, you know what I mean? Not being
the nice teammate.
Too, because I got a few of those in my career that I'm like, wow, how the heck? Oh, he's hating on the coach. And I'm like, inside of me, I'm like, how the hell are you going to hate on this coach? All I see is bad attitude from you and things like that. So there's those players. But if you want to be a really good player's coach, you just have to be open with them. You have to be straight up. You got to go to them and tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Why you're not playing? Why you're not doing this? Why are you going the other way? Open a door and be there for them. And never show them up on the media or say something in the media where, in these years, social media is huge. Well, when I played, social media wasn't an issue. So it was easier that way. But you have to be that way. That's what I think a player's coach is. And if I forget something, I'll mention it, you know, on the way. But for me, that's what player's coach is. And I play with three player's coach. And I think Socha was one of them early in his career. I haven't heard anything about it lately, but again, his team these days is not the same the team that we have those years. So, and then Bochy's always been a player's coach. And then Ron Washington, everybody loved that guy. Everybody joked with him. Everybody was open to him. Everybody was saying good things, you know. And then in the game, actually, during the game, everybody just talking to him and telling him, hey, listen, let's do this way, and maybe it'll help, and things like that. So I think that's, for me, it's the definition of a player coach.
So whenever you talked about Bochy and Ron Washington and all those great managers that were, you know, that are player coaches. So when a guy is struggling, like even if it was you, I mean, I don't know when you were struggling or when another player was struggling and they were making, you know, for example, Dexter Fowler kind of, you know, person who was making a good chunk of change and wasn't doing what he is getting paid to do. How did they respond? What did they do to make, you know, a player's coach, like, I don't know how do you explain it. You know, just how did they give him the benefit of the doubt? You know, is that what Matheny's doing here with Fowler, and kind of, you know, giving him the benefit of doubt, selling, you know, the owners or whoever on him, saying, hey, we need to start this guy. You know, is that what a player's coach does, or how did your coaches basically go about that?
About Fowler, is very easy. You go straight to his face and you tell him what he's doing. And then Fowler didn't have 2 weeks of tryout, man. He had a 2-month slump.
Yeah.
He didn't have a three weeks or a 2 week slump like normally a guy that's doing okay. It has. Fowler had a 2-month or maybe more than 2-month slump, you know? So for him, it's easy for the coach. Go to him and say, hey, man, how long do you want me to – you want me to keep you like this the whole year? Or do you want me to keep you like this for how long? What are you thinking? Because I'm trying to win some games, and you're obviously struggling right now. It's not helping our club, but, you know, what do you want me to do? But I have to move my pieces. I have to move my cards, and – we have a young guy that's doing a little better than you, but be upfront, right?
Yeah.
Be face to face with him and having this conversation. I am sure they have done it. I'm sure they've done this already. I don't know how the reaction of them was, but I'm sure they've done it. I'm sure they talk, and I'm sure they know what they're saying out there in the dugout, in the clubhouse. But that's what you have to do. You have to face the guy and tell him, hey, listen, Wong is another guy that, I mean, don't get us wrong, fans. You know, we want Wong, and we want Fowler, and we want Carp, and we want all those guys to hit because it's going to help our team. We want them to hit, but they're not doing it. That's the point. But I'll go to Wong, and I say, hey, Wong, I need you in the bench, man, because there's another guy having a good. And when Paul DeJong comes back, he's going to play short. Maybe I'll put maybe Jerko, and I'll put Munoz, who's having a good time here. So at second base, and I know Wong is a great defender, but we need the offense. We need to score runs. So, but I will go to him and I will mention the same thing, and see how he reacts to it. Some guys react the right way. Some guys are honest with themselves and say, hey, man, I'm struggling right now. I got you. I'm sorry. I'm going to pick it up or something. Wong, and same way. I'm going to keep working, Mike. I'm going to keep working, man. I'm going to work my butt off, and I'm going to make this change. I'm going to change. You know, some guys take it that way. But there's the ones that don't want to hear it. They think they deserve it all, and they're going to go at it. They're going to say, no, man, I deserve it. I got a 5-year deal, a 6-year deal here. I need a play, you know, for me to get out of it. And then they bump heads. But a good manager, they never throw the guys under the bus. They never do that. They go face the guy. And I'm sure they have, man. I'm sure Mike have the conversations with them, you know.
Well, you know, as I look at this and listen to you talk, I mentioned this earlier. So, you know, I think – fans think, oh, well, he's a player's manager. That means he's a walkover. He's a pushover. The players run the club, how the players do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I sit here and I think to myself, you know, what does that really mean in the end? Everything I've ever heard from former players, for sure, and listening to you talk and things like that and all that, it's all about knowing, like, fans get mad when Mike stands up there after a tough game and says, you know, hey, we, you know,
Robotic. Yeah.
You know, I've always jokingly said that after Cardinal losses, I'm gonna make a video of what I think fans want him to say.
Yeah.
As a joke, you know, because listen, you're never going to get, like, people want this. You're never going to get it. Well, I got to tell you, Karp was awful tonight. You know, I don't know why he doesn't swing at strikes in the zone. I don't know what the hell Tommy was thinking, really, to be honest with you guys. And, you know, I'm going to have to ask him about it. I don't know why. You know, it puzzles me why Bader would try to take second base there. We're going to talk about it in the clubhouse. Carlos, not very good. We're going to need, you know, and Brett Cecil. Yeah. Awful signing, guys. Yep. Yep. Bad. I don't, you know, but hey, what are we going to do? We got what we have. Yeah. Greg Holland's been awful, but you know, he's on a roster. You're never getting that. Never. And
not from Mike and not from anybody in the big league.
You know, what's funny is I hear people say, oh, bull crap. I hear, and I go, I'm like, no, you don't. And I go out and search and search and search and try to find these guys. And then I find some video where a guy says, you know, we just weren't very good tonight. I mean, we need to do, and I've heard Mike say that before.
Yeah.
I you know what I mean? He has two thrown people under the bus. He threw Trevor Rosenthal. No, he didn't. Because, see, there's the problem, number one. Most fans don't recognize that a physical error and a mental error are two different things. Now, you can hold people accountable however you want to hold them, okay? If you ask any ball player, and Benji, you played the game, and at any time stop me if I'm wrong, the reality of it is if you make too many physical errors, then you're just not good enough and you will not play any longer, eventually. It's that simple. Mental errors, players feel like are things that shouldn't happen, right? Because why? You control them. Now, people say, well, you kind of control physical. You do kind of control physical errors. But the way, as fast as the game is, as hard as the game is, physical errors are going to happen. And you're never not going to make them. Guess what, guys? Ozzie Smith made errors. He didn't make very many, but he made errors.
What, Munoz made four errors in one game?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's mental. That's...
Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know which ones you're talking about. Listen, if you boot a ground ball, it's not that's a physical error.
No, but then after that, it's...
I see where you're going.
You know what I mean?
That's fine, too. But
I'm
going
to give you one mental error for you guys, so see if you guys have ever thought about it. This is one mental error that we always... Not always, but many times since when I'm doing the games, I see it many, many, many times. Okay? Leading off the inning... And you're the second baseman. You're not hitting very good. You're below 200. You know who it is. But I'm trying to dog on him. I'm trying to say the situation. He's leading off. He has the pitcher behind him. The pitcher behind him, and he swings at the first pitch, and hit a pop up to left field or right field, whatever you want to say. Well, hell, he hit a line drive to short. Let's put it that way. He hit it good. Oh, great at bat, a great swing. Now, first pitch, one out with the pitcher behind it. Now, there's a mistake for you. There's a mental error for you. But that should never happen. Unless you are Mark McGwire, and then you can hit that first pitch out in the third deck. Then I can give you that at least because you can get a run. But you're not a home run hitter. You're a guy who needs to be on base to steal bases, and you swing out of the first pitch for what? And you have the pitcher behind you. That's a mental error. Another mental error that I see a lot is the young guy swinging at everything when the first two outs are less than five pitches. Less than five pitches is two outs already. Your pitcher probably haven't had a cup of water or a cup of whatever, coffee, whatever he drinks, he haven't had anything of that. But guess what? The next guy swing at the first pitch, sixth pitch inning, there's a mental error. When you see the physical errors on the field, that's never mental. The physical errors are physical error. He couldn't catch the ball. He couldn't throw the ball. That's not mental. Mental errors are way different than that, than the physical. The mental error, if I'm a manager, I'll be pointing at the mental errors because I need ball players. I need guys to understand the game. I don't want guys that can cost me a game every single night with a mental error. That's what mental errors do to you. But they're not on the scoreboard. They're not on the paper next day. The only thing that's in the paper is that 3-4-4, but they don't see that out that he made was a dumb one, and then we lost the game because of it. You know what I'm saying? So those are mental errors. People that don't understand, that don't have IQ, have a lot of mental errors, and it's really important in baseball not to make mental errors. And I heard this from Altuve talking to him. You know what he told me? He said, we're here in this clubhouse, we don't allow a mental error. And if somebody does it, somebody's going to be in their butts telling them. That's not how we do things here. And then I heard Carlos Correa and then Carlos Beltran when he was there. I had a chance to talk to him, and he said the same thing. It's not allowed in a clubhouse, the mental error. So you better either be prepared, or if you keep making mental errors, we're going to be on your butt. Very simple. And that tells you. And I'm sure Oquendo and Willie McGee, are when they see that, they're on their butts, because you're not supposed to do those things, like being picked off when the game is when you were down 3. That's a mental error. You know, when you're not prepared to go hit or something like that, and then you swing at a first pitch because of what the heck? Or in the eighth inning when we need runners, first batter, you know, and you swing at a first pitch for what? What are you going to get, a four runs, home runs? No, you try to get on base so the guys are work this guy out. Those are mental errors, and they hate it in baseball. They are hated. The mental errors, they're true. They're really, really true, and they hate it. As a player, we hate it. So you better be prepared for the mental. The physical error, not so much. Not so much. We're like, okay, you know, you made an error. All right, let's try not to let it happen. But if it happens, it's still an error. Man, the mental error, we hate it.
Well, and you know, and what's funny about it is, and I, this all stems from, and you guys probably remember this, the thing that stands out the most to me when I really started thinking about it was a year ago when Rosenthal didn't cover first base.
Yep.
They lost a game. You know, it's a play that they practice. It's a play they do. If anybody's played baseball, they do, you know, PFPs all the time.
Yep.
It's something he's probably done his whole life, and he just, whatever, right?
Yep.
And then everybody was freaking out because they asked Carpenter, but he said, it can't happen. It just can't happen.
But listen, Jimbo, when you got to cover first, when the ball is hit, you got to go because the guy's running. And if you take a split second, like if you get caught in between as a pitcher and you get caught thinking, oh, shoot, you know, what am I doing here? Instead of just reacting, that's why you see guys going to first base when the arm ball is to second.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
They want that step. They want that quick step. But if you get caught in the other hand thinking, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shoot, I got to go. That could be too late, man.
Yep.
So, but that's a mental error, too. And that wasn't allowed. And I talked many times with Pujols, and Pujols is a great idol over there in St. Louis. And for me, an icon. I don't care how he left or not. For me, he's unbelievable. But all he talks about is the mental mistakes. If you eliminate the mental mistakes, we might win some more games than you think. But if you keep doing the mental mistakes, you put in the team in your hole, and you're not helping. You're not absolutely not helping. Did you guys notice against the Cubs how the Cubs came up to us? They swung the first at bat maybe. And then after that, what did they do? They started taking pitches. They started making the guy work. And guess what? They took him out in the fifth. They got him out in the sixth. And they got the bullpen because they know the bullpen is struggling for the Cardinals. So that's what I'm trying to say. That's a mental game that you got to have. You have Contreras bunting for a base hit, but he didn't care about the base hit. He wanted to get that guy over to third, but he got a hit. Things like that. I mean, you cannot have those mental mistakes and win games. You can't expect that because it's going to kill you. And Pujols and all these winners, guys like BGO, like guys like you know, like people that have been or are in the Hall of Fame, winners and ballers, they all tell you the mental mistake pushed back the team, and if we have them, we're not going to win many games, man.
Yeah, like I you know, like I said, the whole thing stemmed from the Rosenthal thing, and then Carpenter like booted a ball or something, and everybody was like, well, is Rosenthal going to throw him under the bus? And I'm like, it's no, he's not, because they're two totally different things. You know, if you know, listen, I said, if people want to complain about Carpenter, listen, you cannot like him, whatever you want to do, I don't care about that. But my point is, if you want a legitimate baseball complaint, you know, there was a game where he wasn't, you know, he's at first base, he's the cutoff man, and he didn't go, he just stayed right there. And there was an all. That's a mental mistake. That cannot happen.
And the day that he got thrown out from the outfield after being a runner at third, when he did all that stuff and he didn't tag up at third or something,
yep.
And we didn't get the run, got thrown out, that's a mental mistake. You can count that as a mental mistake because he wasn't ready for the play. That play comes out. You need to know what the heck you're doing before it happened. And if you're not, you're going to look stupid, you're going to look bad, and that's a mental mistake. And they hate that. I'm telling you, as a player, as a former player, the players hate the mental mistake. And they will tell you in some teams, I don't know about the Cardinals yet, but in some teams, they will let you know for sure what the heck is going on, and we cannot have that. That's exactly what they will tell you. They will not allow mental mistakes. But remember, Jimbo, we had veteran teams before. This is a new era. This is a new time where the young guys are taking over a team. And you'll see more mental mistakes because they don't have as many veteran players in the team. When you have Bergman, when you have Beltran, when you have Matt Holliday, when you have Viña, when you have Renteria, when you have David Eckstein, when you have David Fries, and David Fries made a lot of mental errors, don't get me wrong, but he's still a little veteran. When you have Pujols, when you have Yadi, when you have Langford, when you have Jim Edmonds, you're not going to see mental errors because they're freaking good veteran ballers and they know what they're doing. But the young guys that are this time that the owners want in their team, they don't want the veterans anymore. They want the young guys. That's okay. Go get the young guys. But you're going to see a lot of mental errors. So you got to sleep. You got to go to sleep with that in your head. That's it. You did it. You don't want no veterans in your team. You want it all young guys almost. So you got to be prepared for the mental errors, you know?
Well,
it's the same. Like if you get a lefty that gets lefties out, if you get Andrew Miller in your team, you're okay. You can sleep okay. But if you go out and sign other guys that cannot get lefties out, you can't sleep at night. But that's what you got. That's what you signed. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same way. Now it's a new era, and you see a lot of mistakes.
So I want to talk about the weekend before we go, because you know we talked a little bit about the players. Man, the reason I did that was you know there's an article in the Post about, you know, obviously we got the absolute shit kicked out of us for two games, and then you know Matheny called a meeting.
No, we didn't.
We didn't. Yeah, it was one game.
Well, you know
we
what
got
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah.
One game they took it to us, and the other game they hit two home runs to beat us.
I know. It was a gut punch. That was my point. So
yeah.
They still beat us, but that game could have gone our way easy.
Well,
so we could have won three out of four.
We should
instead of that.
Right. And again, what I meant by that was it was a gut punch. Yeah. I mean, it was like, oh, Jesus. You know, so my point.
And the guys battled back. They got two games out of the four.
Right. And again, when I'm talking about that, I just mean like they hurt. Yes, obviously the Friday game was awful. I mean, so again, you hear this, you know, and again, it's funny, you know, we read or whatever that Mike called the team meeting, and, you know, people will be like, well, why didn't we have a team meeting earlier? And it's like, well, number one, you don't know that they didn't, A. Number two, you can't have them all the time. You know, I don't know what people think this is. So my question to you is, you know, I'm sure you've sat in a team meeting or two, right? I'm sure you've been a part of some rough patches. And coaches do this and do that. And, you know, you see a lot of people on social media, you know, Mike needs to go in there and he needs to flip a table. And, you know, Tony La Russa flipped a table one time. You know, you hear Jim Edmonds, you know, I love Jim Edmonds because he just casually says shit when he's broadcasting. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it's hysterical. And people, you know, it's gospel because it's Jim Edmonds, which I love Jim Edmonds. He's one of my, you know, he's one of my favorite players. And I, you know, Tony would flip, you know. So people think Tony flipped a table five times a year, six times a year. My guess would be he probably flipped a table. I probably couldn't count it on one hand his entire career, because if you do that all the time, it's theater, yeah. Right?
Bochy did it two times in 4 years that I was there. Bochy lost his mind two times, and he probably didn't want to. That's not who he is. But he lost it two times. Two times he just lost it. He grabbed a bat and started banging on all the TVs that were there. And he broke all the TVs that in the clubhouse. And then at the end, he said, "Let's freaking go, and I'll pay for the TVs." And that's it. But you don't see that often. You don't need to do that, though. You got a meeting to pump people up. You don't have a meeting to go home and say, people be like, what the heck is this guy doing? No, you do a meeting to pump you guys up, pump and say, hey, listen, guys, this is not working right now, but what the heck? Forget about it. Let's make a new one next game. Let's start playing good from tomorrow on, okay? And I'm sure that's what probably Mike, if he had a meeting, that's what probably what he said. He said, yeah, we got beat up twice. And it's a gut thing, like you said, Jimbo. But wow, why don't the paper post, why don't they write on how they bounce back? They could easily lose all four if they were down by that home run of whoever that kid is, Aguilar. And he beat us on a walk-off home run. You know how tough that guy was, like you said? And they could have easily just backed down and say, oh, man, what the hell, and lose all four and go home and keep battling. No, these freaking guys battled their butts after being walked off the night before, battled these guys and beat them on Saturday, and then beat up on them on Sunday. Why don't they write that? Why don't the St. Louis Post write that? Why don't they write they have good heart? They battled their butt off after a walk-off home run on Friday. They lost two in a row to the number one team in the National League. All of a sudden, everybody thinks, okay, the wheels are coming off. What the hell? Blah, 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 blah. All the crap they always talk. And why don't they write the good things? Why don't they write, wow, they came back and beat them up in the freaking Saturday, and then they came back and beat them up on Sunday. They took two out of four of the freaking first place, even though they started off so horrible. That's what I don't get, man. It gets me irritated when I see these news. Man, write the good things. Write the good things. Why don't they do that? When Fowler went, I think Fowler hit, what, four hits or something?
He went two for three hits. Yeah, he had a couple hits last week.
Couple nice, you know, yeah. A couple good baseball plays is
yeah.
important.
Yeah, and you don't see that in anywhere, man. You all see us when he goes 0-for-3, then you see it. It's, oh, man, he's struggling. Man, let's give him some props when he gets a game-winning catch or a game-winning hit or something, man. I hate that. I really do hate it. But it's human nature, I should say. Not all of us, but most of us like the negative and, man, just mention the good once in a while. These kids battle their butt to bounce back in the series and beat them twice after a walk-off home run in Friday, after Flaherty threw a great outing, and then they beat them twice, and all of a sudden Cardinals, the kids came back and show heart, because that's what it is. They show me a freaking heart. I tell you what, I'm a player. I used to play, and they show me a freaking heart by coming back on Saturday, beating up on the Brewers, and then come back on freaking Sunday and beat him up again at home. Come on, man. They show me heart.
Well, I was curious to get your thoughts on, like, the whole clubhouse thing because, you know, again, I think, you know, I say this all the time. I'm not quite sure that you know, and again, I don't mean this in a bad way. Everybody's wired different, right? Like, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to actually contradict what I'm saying. A guy that makes $20 million a year and has a five-year contract, or let's say he makes $15 to $18 million a year and is on a five-year contract, are his boots really shaking no matter what is said? Now, the thing is, and this is always the thing. This has always been the thing, right? If that's how you're wired, that's how you're wired. Just like if you're a guy that makes $25 million a year and you're signed for 7 or 8 years and you're a ball and all you care about is winning and you run through a wall for your coach and you'll do anything to help the team win and you're all about team and you're all about giving of yourself. That's how you're wired. The amount of money and all that. But the truth of the matter is, if that's who you are, I don't know why anybody thinks that some guy that's willing to, if you believe, like, here's the thing, if you truly believe that a couple of these guys aren't playing hard for this manager or aren't working with this hitting guy, or if they've given up or if they've done this, if you truly believe that's who they are, the amount of money and contract in that, while plays a role in it because they have security, and the reality of it is you can come in and cut them tomorrow and they're not going anywhere, okay? You can cut them tomorrow. They're going to get their money. In fact, they cut you. You can just go play for whoever you want because you can go. They got to just pay you the minor league minimum, and the other club still owes you all the money. It's like the Seinfeld episode. If I don't quit, I get all the money. That's why nobody's quitting. So the truth of the matter is, I don't know why people believe that a new manager is going to come in and all of a sudden make a guy who thinks that way be different, because it's not who you are. You cannot play this game at the highest level and need, hear me, folks, you cannot play at this level and need somebody else to motivate you consistently. You can't.
You shouldn't. Well, you really shouldn't need anybody at all.
I mean, right? Benji, did they pat you on the ass every day and tell you it was okay and go get them and we believe in you? Did you get patted on the ass every day and told that? Or did you know darn good and well that if you eventually just weren't good enough, it was over?
Yeah, and you have to work your butt off for it, you know, and nobody's going to be right behind you, like you said. Nobody's going to come and tap you in the back and say, hey, man, we feel sorry for you. Let me give you this $1 million, even though you're not doing great, or something like that. No, man, it doesn't happen in baseball or in any sport. You got to go get it, because right behind you, there's somebody that's going to take over if you don't. It's very simple. It's just how it is. If you play like that, you'll be fine. But like you said, Jimbo, it's very easy for these young guys, because they're getting paid so much money to believe. And a lot of times these young guys and older guys too, I should say, because it happens in baseball. But overall, a lot of these guys forget who makes the checks. Dude, I never complain for my owners. I never complain for my manager. You know, one of the reasons was because they pay my checks. How the heck? Millions and millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars are being paid to you to play baseball. And you think you own the Cardinals as a player? You think, oh, man, these guys should do this. Oh, man, these guys are this. Oh, with the bad attitude. Oh, what are these guys are doing? Get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of here. You get paid $15, $17, $19 million. The freaking Cardinals own you, buddy. The ownership own you. All you have to do, shut your mouth and go play. I mean, that's the way I was. I'm just giving the young guys some advice, right? Shut your mouth up and go out and play hard for St. Louis, for the city of St. Louis, for those birds on the back. Go out and play your butt off. That's what we need to do. And remember, the guys that were before you, they didn't even get paid that much money. And they gave their life. They gave their heart. They gave their body away to the city of St. Louis, to those two birds on a bat. But they did. So if you're getting paid $17, $15, $20 million, dude, be quiet. be quiet because these guys are paying you. They decided, they took it on their shoulders because you did good, you get paid. So be quiet, go out there, battle your butt, you know, on the field. Show them that you're worth that money. That's another thing that these days, I can give you a lot of examples, not only in our team, but a lot of examples. Somebody gets paid and they think they're done. For some reason, they're like, oh, I got paid. Okay, I'm good. I'm settled. And they forget the passion of the game. They forget the passion of playing for a team. They forget that, man. These young guys, it's a lot of money, and they feel secure. No, man, when I got paid in my contract, and of course, this is just my opinion, guys. I'm not talking about everybody should be my way, because that's not what I'm saying. But when I got paid millions of dollars to play, I felt it on me, man. I wanted to make it. I wanted to do good because I wanted that contract to look good. I wanted to make them look good. Hey, they signed me for this million, but guess what? I'm going to give you 80 RBIs. I'm going to give you 20 home runs if I can. I'm going to give you 280 to 300. I'm going to try to do that because you pay me that much, buddy. You see what I'm saying? It's way different these days, man, and it is.
Well, again, I'm glad we talked about this today. As we head into this week, it's we know we're in a tough part of the schedule. It was good to see the two wins. Let's see if we can't build off of them and go from there. But I appreciate both you guys today. Of course, Josh, thanks for coming in. I don't know if I like the ring of intern, Josh. I think that's why we've just always called you Josh.
Yeah. No, that's
fine. We don't treat you like an intern, do we?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
No, I don't think so. Hey, don't forget, guys, want to thank everybody for joining us. And again, of course, innovativecompanies.com. My man Randy Green, don't forget plumbing. Division is now up and ready to go. You've got your heating and cooling, which a lot of people I know this time of year are getting that situated right now. The electric team and, of course, the construction team. Give them an opportunity for your business. Residential, commercial, or industrial doesn't matter. InnovativeCompanies.com. And, again, second-generation craftsmen, folks. And if you read the papers, I mean, we're losing that, and we still have a good one in Randy Green. So check it out, innovativecompanies.com. Of course, our friends, Adam Smokehouse, don't forget, it's lunchtime. It's almost lunchtime here. Adam Smokehouse is where it's at. Make sure you check them out down on Watson Road. And again, tell our man Mike that we sent you tremendous barbecue. And again, we do appreciate all the listeners sending us stuff for the recommendations. So thank you. Of course, Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, check them out. Get down there. Get your golf game going. Tee times available during the day. Talk to Mark if you've got an upcoming tournament. Maybe he can help you out. Does a tremendous job. He's second to none. And again, it sits right there in Granite City, right on the border of Collinsville. And I'm telling you guys, it's a tremendous, tremendous course. The track's real nice. And again, Mark Marcuso, second to none, guys. Give him an opportunity. Special thanks to all our social media partners. Couldn't do it without you guys. There's so many great Facebook groups. Starts with my man Nate McHenry and RallySquirrel.com. The big Facebook group. And, of course, we're proud to be members of the Rally Squirrel Report. We appreciate Nate asking us to be a part of it. Make sure you go on and Google RallySquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you can be involved in this wonderful show. Get some insight that you don't typically get, and, of course, be eligible for some of those tremendous prizes. Chris Lawless at Cardinals Nation, thank you so much for all you do for the show. Real happy. Your guys' podcast is awesome. The Cardinals 24/7, you guys have done a great job over there. I really encourage everybody to make sure you give it a listen. It's just tremendous. Team of Rivals podcast, the whole Cardinals Cubs thing. I think you guys got a great thing going on over there. There's some other great ones out there, man. Usual Suspects, there's Birds on the Black. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of great Cardinal podcasts out there, folks, if you want to get your fix. So make sure you find them. The great Facebook group that you've created, it basically dedicates itself, Josh, to yep. Cardinal podcast.
Oh yeah, Cardinals Podcast Network. It's on Facebook. I'm trying to work out Instagram a little bit here and there, but for the most part, it's on Facebook page. I got a group. You can go ahead and share your opinions on there. And
were you surprised how many Cardinal podcasts there are out there?
Oh yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah,
and then left and right.
Yeah, they keep coming. So that's a great group. Make sure you check that out. Don't forget Mick Light over at Art City Media. You know, he shares our stuff and he's helped our numbers really gravitate in the right direction. Thank you so much. Cardinal Freak, everything STL Sports, some of the great Facebook groups where the conversations are great, Cardinals Nation, St. Louis Cardinals, fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals crew, the Cardinals group, Cardinals true fans. There are so many great Rally Bird Express, Beast Mode Cardinals. Guys, there's tons of great Facebook groups out there if you want to talk Cardinals. Make sure you check them out. Find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show on Facebook. And again, be looking out for all of our social media posts centered around the contest to win the autographed Marcell Ozuna jersey. You can find out that information by following us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat, Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Special thanks to M4ByYachty.com as they always bring us Benji Molina, whether he be in Seattle, Arizona, or here in St. Louis. And of course, again, special thanks to them for helping us obtain the Marcell Ozuna jersey and always supporting the show and being a part of our network. For all of our listeners out there, I'm your host, Jimbo, for Josh and Benji and No Steve. Let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.